Hey, this is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
We're going to continue on with the baseball scene, but step away from the local side. Let's talk Major League Baseball. 50 games deep into the season, nearly 50 games deep into the season. I think we have clarity in the American League. The National League is still in a spot, a lot of surprises, let's put it that way. Although I do believe some teams are figuring it out. Joining us right now over the phone to bounce around and talk about the storylines, we have Bill Lasky, who is a former big league pitcher, now works as an analyst for the San Francisco Giants on NBC Sports Bay Area. He joins us every Monday to talk baseball. Bill, great to hear from you again. Thank you.
Oh, it's great. And again, finishing out the last couple weeks here in May, going into the summer months, standings have changed. Teams that were hot aren't hot, and teams that weren't hot are getting hot. So it's that time of the year. The weather's starting to get warmer, and you're starting to see a little bit more games between the leaderboard to the bottom of the board. You're trying to separate the first-place teams to the teams that are struggling. So now you're starting to see a little bit more after about 40 to 50 games into the season.
Yeah, and the NL has been kind of wacky. I mean, the Atlanta Braves, who may be the most entertaining team in baseball, they hold the top spot in the National League East. The Arizona Diamondbacks were hot in the West out of the gate. They've now lost 9 out of 10 and ran into some injury issues. The Brewers are at the top of the Central. I don't believe that's a big surprise because I think a lot of people thought that the Brewers could make a play for the NL Central with some of the moves that they made in the offseason. Really, I mean, the East and the West has been crazy in the National League throughout the first 45 games of the season.
They sure have. And, you know, of course, I follow the Giants here in San Francisco, and a lot of the times they always said the National League West was the strongest division, but injuries have plagued everyone from the top to the bottom, where you can go pick out certain players in each team, and each team has lost star players. I agree with you. I think Atlanta's just gelling with their youth and some of their veteran guys. And then you start, you know, pairing out the Central with St. Louis and Milwaukee. Milwaukee started slow. Now they're in first place. They're starting to play better. But it really gets down to pitching and who's got the stronger staffs. And it always comes down to the bullpen. And each team has suffered, again, in their rotation or in their bullpen.
Let's start with the NL West. Justin Turner recently returned for the Dodgers, a team that's been struggling all year long. They get one from the Marlins. They showed some heavy offensive production in that series. But, Bill, for me, the impressive thing was the Dodgers took three straight from Washington, and they had to go through Scherzer and Strasburg to get it. Does Justin Turner make that much of a difference on this team?
I think it gives that strong part in that third spot in your order. You always want to be middle strong, and he's always been there. And with him being out, they struggle to fill spots in that 3-4-5 order. Kemp's having a good year, too. And I just thought those three games were huge for them as they were going south so fast. And now they've got some breath. They got the Colorado Rockies now, who just came through San Francisco and split with the Giants 2 games out of 4. So this is, again, you know, the rock'em sock'em robots. Who's going to hit who first and who's going to land and who's the next one coming up? Because if you look in the NL West, the Giants are 500 and they're only 2 games back. You mentioned the Diamondbacks going south real fast. And, of course, Pollock with that injury is really hurting them. And Colorado's right on the tails of being in first place. And, you know, that whole division I think is going to be that way the whole season. Of course, I'm in favor with the Giants being here in San Francisco and Madison Bumgarner starting to do his rehab and Melanson also. And now you're looking at Mack Williamson, who's starting to come back after concussion, so you're going to have a little more offense going. But they have a tough road trip coming ahead. They're playing Houston 2 games, then they go into Chicago, and then they're back Memorial Day at your place in Colorado. So a tough road trip coming up, and we'll see how this NL West goes in another week or two.
Mentioned Justin Turner. You mentioned Colorado. You and I had briefly talked about DJ LeMahieu, who's on the DL for the Rockies right now. But you also mentioned AJ Pollock. And again, I'm not going to contribute all of Arizona's struggles to the injury to Pollock. But again, when you're talking about offense, this guy leads the team in batting average, home runs, and runs batted in. And he's got a slugging percentage of like 620 with a 350 OBP. He's out for 2 months, and for a team that has lost 9 out of their last 10, boy, that is a devastating blow. They haven't been healthy all year, Bill. I mean, when we talk about Lamb at the corner, he hasn't been healthy for Arizona all year. But losing Pollock, I mean, that's a lot of zing out of that lineup.
It sure has. And the thing about it, 2 years ago, if you remember, and I'm sure you do, where he hurt himself sliding at home right to one of the last spring training games, and he was out most of the year, and they struggled throughout that whole year. And then when he came back this year, especially hitting in the five hole behind Goldschmidt, it was just a two punch back to back. And now the pressure starts going on with the other players in that lineup, and they're just not gelling offensively. He brings so much, and you just threw the numbers out there. Every one of those numbers are overachieving numbers with his speed also and leadership. It's just a huge blow for them, and they just can't overcome it right now. And even now, their starting pitching is starting to give up some runs. Today, they're in Milwaukee, tough series over there, and Grinke's pitching. And that's going to be a tough series for them at Milwaukee, as we just said, Milwaukee being in first place, and they're hitting the ball very well.
Again, we're being joined right now by Bill Lasky as we talk Major League Baseball. If we jump over to the American League, boy, that East, it's going to be fun. I know throughout the entire year, the Yankees and the Red Sox at the top of the AL East. I mean, the Indians are at the top of the Central. You got the Astros, to no surprise, at the top of the NL West. I think the American League, for the most part, has played out over the first 45 games, like many could have predicted, Bill, unlike the National League.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, it took Cleveland a little bit to jump into the mix there as leaders, but they're starting to play well now. They picked up Melky Cabrera and had a great game his first game back. Yankees in Boston, I just think that's going to be a dead red all the way through the month of September. Those two teams are just so good. One will win the division, the other one will get the wild card, no doubt, because they'll have the wins to do it. On the Houston side, you can't overlook their starting staff. The top three or lowest earned run average leaders are 1, 2, and 3 in their rotation, and they're just going to keep getting stronger by the month. So it is starting to develop who's the leaders in the American League, not so in the National League, as you say. But just, you know, when you look at Boston and the Yankees, it seems like every day there's a highlight from one of their games on somebody making a great play or hitting the ball out of the ballpark or throwing a shutout ball. So both those teams are showing exactly what they made through the offseason.
Bill, I got to ask you about some pitching if we're talking about the American League, especially in the American League East. Let's talk about the Tampa Bay Rays, because Kevin Cash, manager of the Rays, tried something very, very unique. And I know that as the game evolves, there's always nuances that will change. What Cash decided to do was actually start a reliever to go through hitters 1, 2, and 3 and then bring in the starter, which allows him to eat up some innings once you get past the first lineup, because all the surprises, I guess, could be the first time through the lineup before hitters actually start to figure some things out. He goes with Sergio Romo. It worked out. Ryan Yarbrough was able to come in. He got the win 5-3. Didn't necessarily work out the second day, but this is something that you just don't see in baseball. And with you being a former pitcher, I got to get your thoughts on this.
It sure has changed the outlook of starting pitching. Sergio Romo was here for so many years, winning the World Series and being a closer when they beat Detroit. It just took me by surprise to see how all this has changed through all the different discoveries of who's going to pitch to who, what's better. And I think you and I talked about this so many times. The first inning is one of the hardest innings for starters. You come out of the bullpen and you got to get, you know, situated with the game, and the top three hitters are usually pretty strong in every lineup. And the first time Romo does it, he strikes out the first three guys of the Angels, comes out of the game, starter comes in, and it works. Second time it didn't work because they used relievers after. It is a different part of the game, and Tampa Bay struggling right now. They can try all this, you know, with all the different stats and things of pitcher against hitters. You know, he starts two games in a row. That's never happened in a game of baseball. So, you know, it is changing the game. People are trying to discover new ways of getting people out and try to, you know, do different aspects of the pitching staff. It works. Tampa Bay, of course, is trying everything different. They've been doing things like that in the last few years. and it's worked and it hasn't worked. But that team is definitely doing it. They have the opportunity to do it, being lower part in a division. But at the same time, I'm old school baseball. I'm sorry. I want my starters to go seven innings in their mind or even trying to close it. And the games have changed. And you talk to players in my era, and just the same thing with launch angles and exit velocity. That nothing was even talked about 20, 30 years ago like that. And I had Bill Madlock on the show here on radio a couple weeks ago, and he was talking, it's so difficult to teach hitting now because everybody wants to hit the long ball instead of trying to hit all over the field like you're taught years ago. So the game's changing. Is it better? Bands are still coming out. Is it harder to try to diagnose from an analyst? It is, because you just don't understand why, but all these analytic people are trying different things, and most of your analytic people never even put a glove on their hand or spikes on their feet. So numbers are changing the game. The way to direct things are definitely changing. We're just going to see if it's going to work or not.
You know, Bill, I was looking over the National League when I read about this story over the weekend, and one of the best closers that I just don't think we talk enough about, because let's be real, he doesn't have a lot of save opportunities, would be Raziel Iglesias for the Cincinnati Reds. Okay, this is a team that's won 16 games, and I think
great name. I mean, he can throw.
He can throw.
I watched him. He came through the Reds, and the guy's got a bullet arm.
He's fantastic. He has 8 saves. And the Reds have 16 wins. Okay, so is that a scenario where you could see Ruggleman, who's in the interim position anyways, would it make sense to throw Iglesias out there to start a couple of games? Because this guy's not getting enough save opportunities to begin with.
Yeah, and you just wonder, you know, you get that inning, you know, if you don't throw in 3 or 4 days, you get that inning sometimes just to get a warm-up inning. Sometimes it's hard as hell to get in there and get acclimated with no save because you're mentally strong about getting the save, holding runners. I just don't think they're going to use somebody like that as a bullet arm. You're going to have to pick and choose on who you throw in those scenarios. Mostly it's guys that are veteran players that can kick in. Sergio Romo, of course, is the latter part of his career, and he's open to do anything to stay in the game. But at the same time, I just don't think they're going to do stuff like that to your start, you know, your closers or top guns, as you say, in the bullpen. It's just going to be more or less an experiment, and who's going to try it next, and are they going to continue to keep doing it, and we'll see if this works or not. In the meantime, I just don't think anybody in the National League is going to do it. I just don't know, you know, because every team is different. Did you see the Atlanta Braves being in first place? I sure didn't,
nope.
But they sure are playing well. You start looking at some of these teams that are building. We talked about the Astros years ago, and look how strong they did by cleaning house and rebuilding with youth. And that youth is gelling together, and they're going to be right back in the thick of things to win another World Series. So the game has changed. We are here to watch it, to see how it's going to evolve, to see if these changes are going to be something down the road to look at.
We'll end with this, Bill. Speaking of the Atlanta Braves, they released Jose Bautista. I thought it was an odd fit to begin with. You have Johan Camargo at third base, and you also have a rising star in Austin Riley coming up through the minors. This kid just continues to slash. He's all the way up from, I believe he started, if I remember, in single A. He's already up to triple A already, so it just didn't seem like a fit for Bautista. Is this the end of his major league career? I can't see him catching on anywhere else.
No, and you know, when the Giants played Atlanta, that was his first game up. And he made some decent plays at third base. The bat just didn't have that super whip that he had. And getting up in age, I just don't think he's going to hook on. If he does, it would have to be an American League team as a DH. And I just don't think anybody is going to take a look at him. I think one of the reasons why he came over the Braves, the GM was part of the Toronto Blue Jays when he was there, so he knew him a little bit and he gave him an opportunity. But you know, you try your best. It's like Melky Cabrera in Cleveland. They're giving in their last ditch effort to see if something's going to click or not, but I just don't see anyone trying to jump on Bautista now. They probably saw the same thing you and I did, saw the box scores and not too many hits, not too many home runs, and those were the things that made him Jose Bautista when he was with Toronto that did so well. So he had a great career. There's no doubt about it. There's a lot of good in his resume, and there's been a few things that he did that I don't think he's real proud of, but at the same time, a good baseball player and some good baseball that we've seen out of him.
Bill Lasky again taking out the time to join us. Bill, before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Yeah, I'm jumping on at Lasky19 on Twitter. I'm on there a lot, just talking Giants baseball. You can always pull me up on Saturdays on KNBR 680 here in San Francisco. We're live off of that. And got a great show coming up this weekend. I'm pulling back some players from the past, and we're trying to talk to the Cubs. And I got Jody Davis coming on, Bob Dernier, as well as Lee Smith, the big closer. So good baseball talk there, and it's great to reminisce on some of the players I pitched against and some of their memories of being a Cub.
Definitely, definitely. Bill, I always look forward to the segments. Thank you so much for the time, and I know we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, thank you again, and I appreciate including you, and I hope the listeners love talking and listening to baseball as we chat every Monday.
Always fun to talk some Major League Baseball with Bill Lasky here on the show. We've got a break for just a moment. We'll return, put the final touches on this Monday edition of the show right after this.